Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 24. In verse 15, this is Joshua talking to the people of Israel. And he says to them, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, in other words, evil, he doesn't necessarily mean wicked, but not profitable. If it seems unprofitable to you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, in other words, the gods that were not able to deliver the people from the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell, I love the way he puts that, you conquered those people with their gods and you want to serve their gods? But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose whom you will serve. Everybody makes choices. You don't have the option, which is kind of ironic. You will make choices. You're constantly making choices. You're not even aware that you're making choices. For example, right now, you're either choosing to pay attention or you're choosing not to. But you're making a choice. In everything, we're constantly making choices. Choices are also one of the things that the enemy attacks. If he can control your choices, your ability to make choices is called your volition. It's one of the five parts of the soul. If he can control your volition, your choices, through circumstances or through relationships or what have you, then he can control you. That's his ultimate goal. Just like he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He devised a way to control Eve's and then Adam's choices. He deceived them. That's one of the things. If the enemy is involved, it's all his deception. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he deceived Adam and he deceived Eve. And they made a choice based on false and incomplete, incorrect, half-truth information. He's going to do that to affect your choices. Now, sometimes people think to themselves, well, I can live in this middle ground. I can live in a way where I'm not there and I'm not here. I'm not wicked, but I'm not really sold out to God. I'm kind of doing my own thing. I'm not going to be a terrible person, but don't bother me with this God stuff. There's a serious problem with that. It's called deception. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." That's not an insecure statement. That is complete fact. I'm either running to the kingdom of God or I'm running to the kingdom of Satan, but I'm running to one kingdom or another. I'm not standing in the middle ground. I'm not just in no man's land. I'm either approaching God's kingdom or I'm approaching Satan's kingdom, and there's no other alternative. There's only the two kingdoms. People who say to themselves, I'm going to kind of do my own thing, I'm not going to hate God, but I'm not going to do this church stuff, or I'm not going to do this Christian stuff. I'm not going to worry about the Word of God. I'm just going to do my own thing, and I'll try to do the best that I can, and I'm not going to be evil or hurt people or what have you. I'm just going to do my own thing. They are actually approaching Satan's kingdom. And the way that they're approaching it is by failing to run to God's kingdom, failing to seek the kingdom of God first. If I fail to seek the kingdom of God first, I'm seeking Satan's kingdom first. I can't stay at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and say I'll be fine with God when I'm fellowshipping with Satan's tree. I'm fellowshipping in his way of doing things. Satan would like a perfect world minus God. Because then nobody would see their need for God. Nobody would desire to choose in favor of the kingdom of God. They would just think they're fine. It always amazes me when we go soul winning on the streets. And you hand somebody a tract and they say, this tells you God loves you. And they say, no, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good. That's pure deception. No, actually in truth, if you're not saved, you're going into hell. And that really is terrible. You're not good at all. You just don't know it. This is how Satan works toward our choices. He deceives us. He gets us to wrong information. He gets us to believe the wrong things. He gets us to think in self-centered terms. And we make terrible choices that take us away from the kingdom of God. Adam and Eve ultimately decided to try and hide from God, run away from God, because they were eating from the good side of the tree that seemed pleasant and right. Your choices make up your life. This is why choices are so important. Your choices make up your life. Be careful what kind of influence you receive. Some people say you have to be open-minded. My answer to that is open like the city dump. Be open-minded to the things of God and closed-minded to the things that are not of God. In Romans 16:17, this is not the norm, but it happens often enough. Paul says to the Roman church, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Note them and avoid them. Notice what he said to them. He said, pay attention to who they are, mark them, and have nothing to do with them. Sometimes this will happen, that people cause offenses, that people will walk contrary or attacking the kingdom of God or the people of God. And that causes divisions. But because people are afraid, because sometimes they're fairly gutless, fear and cowardice are a real problem for a Christian. Because of fear, because they're respecter of persons, because they don't want to look bad, because they don't want somebody to think evil of them, they will perhaps spend time with people they should not spend time with. I'll tell you one thing about receiving the wrong thing. The Bible calls the wrong thing from Satan a cockatrice egg. A cockatrice is a poisonous snake. And once the eggs of that snake are planted, they will hatch. People listen to something they shouldn't listen to. And they say to the soul, well, I don't know about that. And then a couple months later, something comes up and it comes back to their thinking and they say, maybe there's something to it. You see, that is a hatching poisonous snake. That kind of a snake was implanted with the outward goal of harming the person that it's about, but the real goal, the true goal, is harming the person who receives it. The person who is about is protected by God. The person who receives it is often seriously damaged by it. It's not possible to receive a cockatrice egg and not have it hatch. Once it's received, it will hatch. And then that person's going to have to deal with that, or it's going to destroy them. So Paul says, mark those people that cause divisions and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine, the word of God applied, that you have learned, and avoid them. Don't have lunch with them. Don't sit down with them. Don't fellowship with them. Avoid them. Don't be sentimental. Sentimentality sends people to hell. Mark them and avoid them. And I'm not saying that sentimentality will send the sentimental person to hell. I'm saying it'll send the other person to hell. That's why Paul in the Corinthian church actually said, I deliver certain ones unto Satan so that Satan will chastise them. He wasn't sentimental at all. He cut them off. Why? Because he was protecting, because he understood that he has an enemy and he understood how the enemy works. Now, this is the exception. It's not the rule. This is not how we normally deal with the majority of people. But once in a while, somebody comes around and this is how we have to deal with them because they're representing Satan's kingdom. And then he continues, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Belly speaks of emotions. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to benefit somehow from it. They want to get some kind of an emotional support system going. You ever notice how bullies, let's say in school there's a bully and they always need their little crowd around? That's the kind of thing it's talking about. By smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple-minded. We're in a war, guys. We're in a war. It's not guns and bombs. Sometimes it spills into that. It's two kingdoms at war. And we are the prize. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat. That's where we get our rewards. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. If I seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6, everything that I need is added unto me, but that's a decision, that's a choice. If I choose to seek the things that I think that I need at the cost of the kingdom, then the loss is very deep. So you always want to choose with a notion that yes, you will be evaluated by God for the choices, and if you make the right choices, you receive rewards for those choices. And it's not always just a choice of where do you go, what do you do. Yeah, that's included, but it's so much more than that. Do I forgive? Do I love? Am I kind? Am I faithful? Do I stand in truth? That is a really big one. Do I stand in truth? Am I faithful to truth? In 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required that stewards be found faithful. A steward is somebody to whom something is entrusted and then they have to do something with it. It's a type of a servant. We are stewards of the Word of God. We're stewards of the truth. We receive truth through the Word of God. And then our stewardship will be evaluated by God. We are required by God to be faithful to the truth. We are required by God to be faithful to His Word. We are faithful to the body of Christ. We are faithful to the finished work of Christ. We are faithful to the mercy and the grace of God. We are faithful to the government of God. We're faithful to the character of God. We are not faithful to the devil. Sometimes people say, well, that's my friend. Well, your friend might be of the wrong kingdom. And being sentimental toward that kingdom will not win your friend. It'll cause you harm. Young women often have a problem with this. Young women will sometimes hook up with an unsaved guy. And they say to themselves, well, I can win him to Christ. And the way it always ends up is the guy gets her away from Christ. One of the first people I won to Christ, this was about 36, 37 years ago, was a friend of mine from school, from college. And she started coming to our church and she was doing great. And then Satan brought some guy She knew him years before, and they started going out. And he was a preacher's kid to boot, and he started taking her to bars. She left the church. I saw her 2 years later, and she said she doesn't even believe in God anymore. You see, that's how the devil works. She thought to herself, well, this is harmless. She didn't see the danger of it. That happens to people. She made wrong choices. The pastor that we had at the time told her, get to know God before you try to get to know a guy. She didn't listen. She should have listened, but she didn't listen. Watch your choices. Make sure they're choices of faithfulness. Make sure they're faithfulness to truth. Make sure they're faithfulness to the heart of God, the will of God, to the call of God, to the things of God in your life. In James 2:20, make sure they're faith responses. You see, that's where people sometimes lose it. They're afraid of a person or sentimental, or they're afraid of what people will think of them, how they'll see them. They get so wussified. And James says, are you willing to know? What a question. Are you willing to receive this? And then he says, oh, foolish man, will you receive this, oh, foolish man? That faith apart from faith response is a dead faith. If your faith does not convert to an activity, an action, a decision, a choice, it's a dead faith. You say you believe, but what do you choose? And this will be very important in our lives. In Deuteronomy 30:19, Moses, toward the end of his life, is talking to Israel, and he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you may live, and that your seed may live, that your children and their children and their children and their children may live. This is one thing for parents. A parent who will not choose properly with God will raise children who will not choose properly with God. But Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. You know, if I choose properly with God, and this is a habit in my own life, I'll pass that on to my kids. But if I do not choose properly with God, and this is a habit in my life, I will pass that on to my kids also. And so I have to choose properly with God. I choose life. I choose truth. I choose the Word of God. I choose faithfulness. I choose to stand with the body of Christ. I stand in the truth of the Word. Young people, you're going to have to make choices. You make them all the time. There is no way to escape that. Make sure they're the right choices with God. Because if they are, they will have great value to you. And if they're not, they will be great loss. So choose wisely. Choose life, like Moses said. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.